Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Quark to my Odo and the Sam to my Frodo, it's Dan.
Good evening, Scott. It's been a while. Not as long as it's been for me talking to these other fine folks here, but it still feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, we did our little snubbies last month, and yeah, but as far as getting the gang back together, or at least mostly, it has been quite some time. So before we blather on any further here, I guess we should, roll out the carpet for two, because we do have two of our three charter members of the All-Star Squad here, Vicky and Kate. So hello, guys.
Hello. Hi. It's been forever since I recorded.
Yeah. Vicky, we have last time we hung out with you, it was May.
It was.
So 4 months, my gosh. Kate, we did get to spend some time with you a couple times over the summer. You know, stranger things have happened.
They sure have.
You know, and a couple
not
other
to
times.
Preach to anyone, but we did that as well.
Right, and then we had our little Batman v Superman debate or conversation or whatever the heck it was. It was what it was. So, but anyway, as we said, this is the first time we've almost all gotten back together. You know, Jason, is the situation that he's moved, so he's having internet issues for the time being? Is that what happened?
No, he volunteered to work on the Trump campaign. He's been pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, trying to find a bunch of white people to, that are afraid to support him. So he declined to join us tonight.
Well, I know he's a big Pence fan because he looks like the dude from Johnny Quest, so I figured that was... So, beyond Jason missing in action, and I'll fill in for him right now and say, this is episode number 140. So it's a round number, but not a significant round number. Anyway, but it is the first time that we've almost all gotten back together to talk about the superhero shows that we generally get together about 20-something times a year, since before the summer. But, you know, before we tackle this week's season premieres, I thought maybe we should play a little bit of a what did you do last summer kind of game here. Now, as most of our listeners, I think, know at this point, all of us are located in states that are pretty far away from each other. We're not really neighbors for the most part. But Dan, the traveling man, you know, he's the guy who's going to transverse the country coast to coast for both adventure and friendships alike. So, Dan, as I understand it, you were at it once again fairly recently.
Yeah, last weekend I went down for a wedding for our friend Amelia of the Geek Girl Soup podcast, and she got married, and I got to hang out with her and Susan and Kelly from the same podcast. And then on the way back from that, I crisscrossed over into Louisiana a little bit, and after a couple extra hours of driving around, hiking, and getting eaten by flies, I ran into our good friend Kate here for the first time.
Sure did. He went from having what was going to be breakfast to we ended up having lunch. But since I didn't have anything planned that Sunday morning, we did get a little Tex-Mex from a place called Chewy's. It was rather enjoyable. Dan got to experience a rather odd effect of decent weather in South Louisiana because it was probably a pleasant 80-something degrees. The sun wasn't burning us, and it was odd that he came through in such a nice time when I had to be like, I don't understand this weather because it's gotten hot again, as it should.
I brought the cool with me, so.
Yeah.
You know what would have made that story even better? When you said that breakfast became lunch, I was hoping you would say, well, then dinner became breakfast, because then it's a totally different story.
No, it's not Jason and Dan. We didn't have breakfast.
Excellent.
We didn't have a nice walk in the rain. Afraid that didn't happen for us.
No, that was a lot of fun. But
Dan did bring me one of the best gifts people can give me. He brought me beer. So I will have to say I will love him forever for bringing me beer. Especially because it's beer I can't get here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very nice of him.
I'll definitely bring more next time. Vicky, what have you been up to?
I was trying to show you some more stuff around here.
Okay.
I have been running and cosplaying and going to conventions. I have one half marathon for my season down. Ran that a couple weeks ago, and I have my second one coming up in, 2 weeks or so. So I'm getting ready for that again.
Sweet, you must be pretty ripped right now.
I'm pretty fast. I could probably give Barry a run for his money.
Whoa, now.
No.
Oh, boy. Here we
Not
go.
Not that fast.
You're the new rival.
Leaving down that challenge.
There we go.
Well, Scott, do you want to say anything about yourself, or should we use Vicky's segue to move into our first subject of the night?
I do want to touch on one other thing before we go there. As far as myself, I'll just say this summer, this last few months, what's the beginning of the Charles Dickens book? The Best of Times?
It was the Best of Times.
It was the Worst of Times.
That's from Star Trek II. So,
yes. Oh, there you go. That's a fairly accurate description for the last couple of months, even up to recently. So it's been a veritable roller coaster of drama and emotions and whatever for me. So yay! So I'm glad to be podcasting and just take my mind off all that crap. Although things are improving again, so that's a good sign.
Good to hear.
Now, before we get into the two shows that we're here to talk about tonight, obviously, because we've been gone all this time, you know, there's been any number of news bits about both the shows that we watch as well as other superhero geeky kind of things that we like to talk about on this podcast. We're really not going to get into a lot of that because, you know, we don't have the time. And as far as things that are happening with the shows that we actually watch and talk about here, for the most part, you know, we'll just talk about it when it happens. I mean, yes, we're excited to know that Mirror Master is going to show up on The Flash finally, because those of us who are comic book fans have been waiting for that villain since the show started. Everyone knows there's going to be a four-show crossover in December, which is going to be a very interesting podcast when we get to that one, I think. You know, and other bits of news about Flash as well as Arrow and everything, but we don't need to get into all that. However, I did want to ask Cade one thing. It's not a big thing. It's, you know, it's not a Mexican thing to go, so sorry, Mike Pence. But I do want to ask him one thing. So, Cade, the other day, it's almost a two-part question, actually. It was reported that the Ben Affleck solo Batman film is, as of right now, just going to be simply titled The Batman. Being a longtime Batman fan like myself, as I believe you are, I was curious what you thought of that title, as well as the fact that apparently Deathstroke is either going to be the villain, main villain, or one of the main villains appearing in that movie. And I guess he's being played by Joe
Manganiello.
Thank you, because I was... Is that how his name is pronounced? I was going to go...
I've heard Manganiello.
Okay.
Manganiello is what I hear.
I'm going to leave it to you guys because I am notorious for mispronouncing everyone's name. I'm lucky I can pronounce my own name correctly, quite frankly. And now Dan's cat is weighing in.
Bitches!
Anyway. So anyway, I want to get your take on both the title, which I wouldn't say there was any controversy about it. I know there was some silly tweets about it, maybe. As well as the whole Deathstroke thing, which I thought was kind of surprising and intriguing, if nothing else.
First, The Batman. I like that title for one very simple reason. I like when Batman is not looked as a person, but as a thing. And by calling him being referred to as The Batman, it removes the humanity from it and makes him larger than life. He's not just a man dressed as a bat. He's something more. So by calling him The Batman and using that as the title, it implies he's going to... That's the character they're going with. Someone who isn't just seen as a man running around, but who strikes a fear and is something more. Because whenever characters refer to him as the Batman in the comics, it does imply that they've stripped the humanity. They're thinking of it more as like just a supernatural force. Even though he's not, but he plays into it and uses that to his advantage. So I like that they're going with that.
Well, it's interesting because what it does is it harkens back to his very first appearance. I mean, the very first appearance he's referred to on the cover is the Batman, and the whole concept of Batman to begin with was he was taking the name and the look to strike fear in the hearts of, you know, the superstitious lot of criminals and all that.
Exactly.
It took some time, I thought, before people really started calling him Batman. At least, you know, as far as other police or other people on the street, that kind of a thing.
Right. Number two, Deathstroke as a Batman villain? Yes. I am very much into that. Not going with a typical rogues gallery, Deathstroke presents a challenge for Batman because it's someone with as much money and resources as he has to fight against. If they go with Deathstroke like he is in the comics, which they should, Deathstroke is wealthy. He has access to lots of things. He's one of the molds of like the anti-Batman characters in DC. Someone who has the wealth and power and access to get things to fight him in a way that the rogues of Gotham really don't.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was an interesting choice because it's interesting you take a character who's got such a well-known and large rogues gallery as Batman, and at this point the main villain is supposed to be Deathstroke, who would not normally be numbered among in that rogues gallery. But you know what? I kind of like that because it just represents something different. There are rumors that Deathstroke is going to also appear beforehand in the Justice League movie, but these are just rumors. No one knows for sure. Although it did look like there was a sketch that Zack Snyder was doing that had pictures that looked a heck of a lot like Deathstroke. So we'll see about that. And wasn't Deadpool technically supposed to be sort of like a spoof once upon a time on Deathstroke, actually?
He's a Deathstroke knockoff. Deathstroke's real name is Slade Wilson, and Deadpool's name is Wade Wilson.
Okay,
it was a very, it's a very easy, like, direct ripoff.
Okay. It's kind of like a
Marvel made fun of, I mean, DC made fun of it in a Superman-Batman comic crossover, where they had an alternate version of Deathstroke show up from another universe, and it was Deadpool, basically.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
So it was, and it was one of those fun little moments where the companies didn't have all out, so they just played off something the other one did in a fun little way to just go, oh, I see what you did there.
Excellent. Okay, I just wanted to get you to weigh in on that because
that is what I thought curious. You were going to ask me about. I felt good that I was like, yeah, that is what he's going to ask me. Good.
Okay. All right. So let's put the Batman aside. It's time to move on. It's time to fast forward right up to The Flash. Now, this week we had the season premiere of The Flash. It was titled Flashpoint, which, as many comic book and animated film fans will know, was a very well-known storyline. Just to recap where we were where we left off last season, I think it was after defeating Zoom and also tragically losing his dad. I guess Barry decided to once again return to the moment in time when the Reverse Flash killed his mom, and this time stop him. Now, in the comics and in that animated feature, that led to what was known as Flashpoint, whereas that one change in history had really massive consequences, and apparently the ripples moved both forward as well as backwards, which always struck me as odd, but we move on. You know, it was the odd explanation for all these wacky things that happened, like Bruce Wayne was killed instead of his dad, or Aquaman became a total dick, and Wonder Woman was a total bitch, and they ended up fighting, and all this other stuff. Good guys became bad guys, and vice versa. It was crazy. We knew going into this season that was really not going to be the case for the Flash TV show for the most part, so I think a lot of us went into this wondering how seismic those changes were going to be and how far-reaching as well. I'll just say, based on this one episode, I think it was fairly minimal as far as the world, but more significant as far as the life of Barry Allen. Probably the biggest change I can see was really about the characters and the relationships that were in his life, both pre and post Flashpoint. Although it did seem a little odd to me that I think he makes a comment that at least 3 months have passed, but now it's like he's encountering all these people for the first time now, it seemed to me. Or maybe it's the first time he's trying to make a connection to any of these people. So I wanted to get your guys' take on, you know, how you felt about how this episode was unfolding, or what your expectations were going into this and what you saw. Vicky, because it's been so long since we've got to hear you talk. There's no flash signal in the Flashverse, but imagine a spotlight with the big lightning bolt on it. I'm throwing it on you to just, you know, what'd you think about this? Like, you know, the Barry and Iris stuff and Joe and everything else. What really struck you going into this episode?
I really liked it. Though, you know, you commented on how it seemed like he was just encountering some of these people for the first time. Well, you know, when Barry was talking to his parents, they mentioned, oh, this was the girl he was, like, stalking or whatever. So it seemed like he had been trying to maybe talk to her for at least a little while. And it seemed like he's been covering for Joe for a while, too. But you know, obviously this was kind of the first time he ever, you know, met this realities like Cisco or Caitlin.
Right.
And the kidnapping. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What was it? Thon's comment, who's the villain now? I was like, yeah, he's doing some pretty shady stuff in it for the sake of calling himself a good guy. but I overall enjoyed it a lot. I wish they had maybe had this reality last more than just the better part, you know, almost all of one episode, maybe even two or three episodes, so we could see some more of the changes that you know were affected by, you know, just the one event of him saving his mom's life.
Right.
Even if it was just kind of things like we saw with Earth 2, if, you know, like just like things in like a news broadcast or on a newspaper, I think that would have been really interesting for them to do.
I think it was a bit of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, I do agree it would have been more interesting to see more of this alternate reality that he had created. But on the other hand, I was kind of like, since we're going to do away with it, maybe don't waste more than one episode on all these things that aren't going to technically shouldn't matter after this is over. But I do. But part of me did want to see, like, I wish it could have been like a 2-hour premiere so we could have gotten more, you know.
Yes.
Was anyone else wondering if we were going to see Wells show up in this episode? Because I know I was.
Yeah, that was kind of odd that we didn't have Wells.
Dan, what did you think about this?
I ended up. I'm not as positive as Vicky on this one. I it really, for the most part, didn't work for me. I just kind of felt like the execution was just kind of, I don't know, just lackluster pretty much, you know, across the board. I mean, there was some stuff that I liked, but it just, you know, just didn't feel right. And it wasn't like deliberately not feeling right because the showrunners are like deliberately trying to, like, you know, make the viewer off balance. It just kind of felt like they just weren't really, it just felt like a misfire. I mean, just for the most part, just there just a lot of things really just weren't working for me.
Interesting.
I don't know. You know, just the things they were doing, like, I keep saying just, and I know I'm going to keep saying, and it's going to drive me crazy. But, like, for example, watching Drunk Joe, it just, oh, there I go again. Fuck me. It just didn't feel right. It just didn't really seem like the actor was able to, like, play it, you know. I'm having a hard time explaining it. I guess maybe I'm losing my memories because, I'm used to seeing him play. I'm used to seeing him play roles. You know, he can do everything really well. You know, I've seen him play a alien / Negro League baseball player on X-Files. He can do pretty much anything, but just didn't work for me at all. It just felt kind of, I don't know. He looked like he was more constipated than drunk. I don't fucking know. That's just a weird example. But for the most part, the episode just kind of felt wrong.
Interesting. Cade?
I will.
Oh, Vicky. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Vicky, go first.
I agree what you're saying about Joe. He just felt very there. It didn't seem like he really added anything in this alternate reality. Joe's a drunk, and oh no, he doesn't like Barry now.
They wanted to like highlight that there was a change to Joe, but they didn't give any like thought behind it. I mean, I'm sure they have some kind of backstory, but
well, I'll defend it this way, because in this alternate reality, Joe doesn't have the fact that it seemed kind of disjointed and apart from everything else. Well, that's what's happened to him. He doesn't have an attachment to these people or any of this anymore. I do agree the drunk thing seems a little odd, and we don't really know what's behind that, if, other than maybe his wife breaking up with his wife and whatever the reason is in this reality. I don't know. It's funny that we're going to talk about two different shows that have a character who's drunk, I guess. I guess it probably just didn't bother me as much because of where it ended up leading. But I see what you're saying.
This may be the best way I can describe. Just give me one sec.
Go on, Dan.
Oh, just maybe the best way I can describe some of this stuff is just a lot of the stuff that was happening in the episode felt like plot devices more than like anything else to me.
Interesting.
Okay, go ahead, Cade.
Okay, I can see what Dan. I can agree with you on that. It didn't feel the world didn't have a cohesion. Like there didn't feel like natural. Choice. It's like we have to get these people here. The one that threw me off completely, Cisco, I understood. I mean, basically, Iris and Wally are themselves. There's no real difference there. But the fact that Kate went from a scientist to a children's ophthalmologist, that's a big jump there as far as I can see. I understand they want to go, oh, it's such a different world, but how do you make what Barry didn't do change the world that much? Like, there's the whole...
I don't want to be one of the interrupters. I'll let you finish. Go on.
Okay. But it seems like one of those... I understand the repercussion changing time things happen, but that one seems almost less like just a shock, like, oh wow, we need this weird story instance here where she's a child up. It doesn't seem as natural as it could have been.
It's like they think they're being cute, and they're just kind of not.
All right, well, interesting. I'm actually going to be in the position of defending it then. I don't want to use too much of the where this came from, where what it's based on, as much. Of a way of defending things, but as I preface this whole episode, considering in both the comics and in the cartoon, Barry saving his mother had such insane effects around the entire Earth, where a war was starting as a result, and Bruce Wayne died instead of his father, and all the other things. The fact that Caitlin's an ophthalmologist instead of a scientist. Doesn't really, to me, register as much as a major change in searching for an explanation. The way the very well-received storylines before this, you know what I mean? Again, I know that's not a way to defend this, but it's my way of saying it doesn't really faze me that much.
I'd like to point something out, though. You just made the argument I made to myself 4 hours ago and forgot that I had. Because I had the whole Bruce Wayne dying instead of his parents. In my head, I'm like, you can't bring that up because that happened in the comics and that's ridiculous. Yeah. And you're right. It's just as ridiculous as that one. You're right.
If you go down that rabbit hole, then I'm like, hey, why is Donna Reed this timid, weird little librarian in It's a Wonderful Life just because George Bailey wasn't alive? What about her indicated she would go that route? Agree with that. There is nothing in that movie that indicates she would go to that extreme. So, again, it's one of the things about time, the whole what-if effect. And, so I don't get into the whole why, whatever. I do agree with a lot of what Dan was saying as far as things not just... I mean, there's one thing for something not to feel right because, it's unsettling or it's weird or strange. But the Joe stuff, I didn't love it. I thought what they could have done, and maybe it would have taken a bit more delicacy on their part. I would have liked to see them if they'd made Joe a little bit more like the Earth 2 Joe. I think that actually might have made more sense to me, and it would have been kind of because this episode was all about callbacks, which maybe we'll get to before we finish up on it. But I do agree that Joe stuff felt weird to me. The other stuff didn't bother me as much, but especially because Jesse L. Martin has been such a strong performer on this show, and he was not one of the more memorable parts of this entire episode, except for maybe the end, and even that's a little iffy. So I guess I agree somewhat.
And it's kind of sad too, because I mean, this is the kind of thing that like actors usually like to be able to do, is to be able to play different versions of their characters. And they kind of like, you know, it just kind of feels like, you know, they're going to work and they get to do their job differently. And this just doesn't seem like something he's like, you know, enjoying.
Okay.
And to be fair, I mean, this storyline isn't over yet. I mean, the timeline is different, but the timeline is still fucked. So, I mean, there could be episode after episode of this kind of thing happening. So, you know, to unfairly judge it as crap now when it's still kind of incomplete, I mean, I'm not judging it as crap, but just saying, as at this point in the timeline, it's a little bit off for me.
Everything is not back to where it should have been.
Well, speaking of that, if I can segue so we can move it along. Because this show probably has gone to the time traveling well more than even Legends of Tomorrow at this point. Cade, I know in our conversations before we started recording, you definitely had some opinions on the whole business of time travel, or more the impact and changes and the rules and whatnot. So I figured I'd shift over to you and get your take on how you thought it worked in this episode, and whether this is really an issue for Flash overall.
I'll say this. The show tries to use science, but at times their science or their things like time travel, it seems like they'll just change it for however they want. We've seen in the show in the past two seasons, Barry travel back in time, do something, and there's an outcome. There's two Barrys at a time. Here we have a world where he changed things, but somehow there's the Barry from that changed is still involved in this world. Like, the world did not, he's not another Barry who has to disappear, or he's trapped there and has this world play out. He still exists with memories of the other world and powers from the other world. Things we haven't seen with time travel being changed in this universe before. And it's, that takes me out of it a little bit. Because I know your time travel stuff has never been solid in this show. But this is going against things you have shown me before and how it works. It's not like we have time remnants and stuff like this. And it doesn't seem fitting, because like, how is this character who stopped his mother from dying, so this 8-year-old boy should never be Flash, there should be another universe where he wakes up, he should wake up having no concept of what he was. And as this world is writing, maybe things start breaking down and he starts realizing, hey, I'm supposed to be the Flash. But at this point, he's 30-something, he's 20-something years old. He has Flash powers. He has all the memories. But this is the world he's grew up in. What? Does that mean that all the past never actually happened? It's just this one point where this 25-year-old Barry, it all syncs up around that? That he didn't live that whole childhood with his parents? That somehow he has a thorn trapped somewhere in the future that this child Barry will grow up knowing about and dealing with? And that's, I think, my biggest problem with the episode is I don't expect the show to have like the hardest time rules, like this is how time works, but at least be consistent with what you've laid out as far as time goes. And it's not been super consistent in the past anyway, but this seems really off base with what they've shown or talked about and how things work. And it felt flawed, deeply flawed in what it is. As far as I'm concerned,
I think I agree. Just really to pare it down to something basic. If he goes back and changes, what happened? He saves his mother. And now the impression I got was he saves his mother, you know, talks or whatever, and then he takes the Reverse Flash with him, presumably to come back to the present or near the present. How else would he have imprisoned him, I guess? But what about the Barry of then? How does he replace himself? Is he a time remnant himself now? The more I started to think about it, the more confused I was getting. And I was like, okay, yeah. I don't get this, because did he just live his whole life all over again with his parents being alive and with him? That's not the impression we get. So I get confused. Well, what happened to Barry? Dan?
Well, yeah, I mean, for Barry, you know, after what he did there, I mean, it would make sense if he goes back in time and then brings Thon back just to, like, you know, 5 seconds after he left. So if he went back in time, he wouldn't be there in the timeline. So it would work out for then. But as to, like, the, you know, the child Barry syncing up with him at some point, I really don't know how they can reconcile that. I mean, they tried to address some of this, like, dual memory thing stuff by, like, you know, him locking Thon in a Faraday cage or something and, like, something to do with the Speed Force, but they didn't really make any effort to explain it at all.
And I think that's one of the things that's missed. They missed that the comic Flashpoint, I think, did have right, is that Barry doesn't have powers and slowly starts to realize who he was.
Yeah.
Was. So it's actually the reverse of how they did this. So he has to get his powers back. That, I think, would have been a much more compelling story to have the memory start slipping in, not like him accessing and forgetting it, because it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel natural, and it, not in a good way, in a, like, you didn't think this through. You didn't really plan this out at any point, did you, Wei?
Yeah, that I agree. That was the confusing thing to me, and that was the big thing about Flashpoint, because he's not the Flash anymore. He doesn't have, because he never went through the things that would have caused him to have those abilities, which technically should be the case here too. So I got really it's one of those things, I was genuinely confused by it, but I was sufficiently entertained, so I tried not to let it bother me. But but as we're talking about it now, it kind of bothers me. Vicky, I think you were about to say something.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
Yeah, no, it was very confusing to me as well. I was like, so wait, yeah, I don't know what happened to this, you know, the other Barry. I'm so confused.
Plus, how many Barrys were in that room at this point?
Exactly.
17 Barrys.
Like 4 Barrys, 3 Thons. I mean, how many are you?
Well, we did see the one Thon disappear when they went back at the end.
Right.
The one that he had knocked out, but yeah.
That's a lot of questions there that brings up.
I think at this point what we're going to need to do is just take a deep breath and realize that when it comes to time travel and the paradoxes that are involved, if it's a Greg Berlanti show, we're just going to have to let, like, pretty much everything slide compared to anything else we've watched or experienced in the last 30 years. The scripts for his shows, they're not Back to the Future buttoned up. They certainly, because the more I think about it, I mean, think about how many times I tried to explain the whole time remnant bullshit from last season.
I remember that. That was hard.
Which, quite frankly, I still don't believe what I said myself.
You know? You're right. I really should just pull the science out of it. Stop doing it. Now, just enjoy the show.
Now, the funny thing is, unlike maybe say Dan, whatever, I was really positive about this episode for a lot of reasons. I still think I am, because I'm trying to put the logic part of my brain aside, I think.
And I was still entertained and engrossed by it. I mean, to the point where, like, I forgot Harrison Wells, like, even really existed, other than, like, the brief second where I'm like, oh, Sisko's running Star Labs. I completely forgot about one of the strongest characters in the show. Right. So it wasn't like I was, you know, not getting my money's worth out of the, you know, network show I wasn't paying to watch.
Actually, that leads me to something else I thought we could bring up for a moment. You know, kind of dovetailing away from Will's, so to speak. One of the things I really enjoyed about this episode a lot, perhaps even more so than any of the episodes from the previous two seasons, was spending as much time as we did with the real Reverse Flash, the real Eobard Thon, not the Wells version. They gave the actor room to do stuff, to deliver lines. I was like, okay, that's Thon. I love that they really made an effort to do that here and really separate that from the Tom Cavanaugh Wells/Thon version, which was great, of course. But I like the fact, but this is the actual character. This is the real guy. And I really enjoyed those scenes tremendously, as much as it could have played pure cliche. Because God knows we've seen enough TV shows and movies where the bad guy is in a cage and he's saying all these things. It's the Hannibal Lecter situation. It's all the way to Vandal Savage last year. But it worked really well here, I thought.
I did truly enjoy getting to see Thon. Getting to see him, Thon. It's the only way to say it. It's the only way to say it.
Empire Strikes Back with a list?
Yeah. His personality, the way he interacts with Barry, it's not the Thawne Wells, that combination. Felt straight antagonism with Barry. This one, it's antagonism, but there's a mix of you need me and you know it. And I kind of, he played that very well. Like, he was like, the whole episode, you saw him, he's like waiting. He's just like, I know what's going to happen here. You're going to ask me. Don't try it, fight it, just give in. And every time he interacted with Barry, he was like, it's getting closer to the point where I'm going to get what I want out of this. And that was good, because that's it's interesting to see that from Thawne, instead of how we'd seen him in the past in the brief segments, getting to actually go, that's Reverse Flash. That's what he's all about. He knows Flash better than Flash might know himself at times. And I like the fact that he goes, the you I really know is not this dumb.
That's right.
To go, I know you better. I know you so well to realize you are an idiot right now, because I know you when you aren't an idiot. That was one of my favorite lines he delivered, because that's got to get in Barry's head and realize he does know me better than I actually know myself. He knows a version of me that is better, that is that Flash that he, Thawne himself, wanted to be. That's fantastic, and I hope we get more of that.
Vicky, you mentioned him pretty early on, so I got the impression you really enjoyed what he did in the episode as well.
I did, yeah. You know, like we said, we've never really gotten to see a lot of actual Eobard Thawne in previous seasons. So this was really good to just see the banter back and forth. That was really enjoyable.
I think what I liked about it, and maybe you guys agree with this as well, what I liked about it, even though it took us to get to the premiere of the third season to really pull it off well, is this was the first time, and again, not the Kavanaugh thing, which was awesome, of course, but seeing these two, the actual characters interact, made me think, oh, this is your arch nemesis. This is your Joker. This is your guy. There may be other big bads from previous seasons. And I just was very happy for the actor, because, you know, he got a real, he got to really sink his teeth into this. And he had a lot of fun, had a lot of good lines, and he didn't go into a snidely whiplash overacting kind of thing. He was kind of fun to watch. Maybe he even took some notes from Tom Cavanaugh himself, who knows. But to me, that was one of the best things about the episode overall, is just, the stuff with the Reverse Flash. It really made me happy.
It was, I worried that we'd lose Reverse Flash. They would just write him off and they'd make him that season one villain and not, but it looks like they really do understand that he shouldn't be the villain every season. He shouldn't always be around, but he should always be there at a moment to cause trouble for Barry. Because that's what Reverse Flash does. Right. He's not in 12 issues in a row. He's not every year. He shows up and he truly wrecks things when he appears. That's what he is, and that's how they should use him.
Well, before we move on, I just want to make a little note here in case I don't know if you're aware of it. You know, he's skipping over to Legends of Tomorrow. He's going to be part of the whole Legion of Doom thing there.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
That's way more exciting than any Vandal Savage crap. That's for damn sure.
So much better.
I have one thing to say about Flash, and then I'll let you guys wrap it up, or, you know, say what you guys say. But just with this whole storyline here, I think, you know, and we haven't seen how it's going to end up playing out, but I think it's just going to be regrettable that they didn't maybe use this Flashpoint thing in a more cool way. I mean, like, let's say they had done something where they didn't know at the time, I suppose, they were going to pick up Supergirl or whatever. But if they had, you know, figured it out ahead of time and ended season two of Flash in a different way, I mean, they could have used this and just done the coolest thing ever. You know, 10 episodes into season three of The Flash, they could have had Barry do this, and then he could have fucked everything up in all four shows. I mean, and they could have done something like, you know, like Marvel did with the Age of Apocalypse comics back in the day, where everything changed for a month. They could have done something like that, where they could have had two or three episodes of each show where they just fucked everything up. Bring back dead characters, have the Superman on the Supergirl show be, you know, different, just change everybody up. and just do something like that and just have a long, continuous storyline and then have, like, a four-parter where, like, they all team up and fix the shit. And so if they would have done something like that, it would just, I mean, it would have been freaking awesome. It would have been a lot of work and, you know, weird scheduling stuff and script coordinating, like, actually needing to be done. But, I mean, I think it's really sad that they, you know, it just feels like a missed opportunity to just something just freaking awesome.
Well,
as that would have been really cool.
Well, as you pointed out yourself earlier in your own conversation, we only have seen one episode of this and one episode of the other show, so we don't actually know whether there will be any further ramifications going as the season moves forward. I've heard that there supposedly will be, but then I've heard other people say not as much. So I don't know what's in store. Right now, I'll just say I refuse to believe that the only ramification of this will be that Iris and her father aren't getting along. I'm pretty sure it's going to be more than that. They wouldn't. I'm going to give the writers credit for this. They didn't do this whole thing for that. Go on.
Oh
no, there's one thing. If I don't see, I'm going to be disappointed. If we got a one Flashpoint episode and that's it, and I didn't get Citizen Cold, I might not watch the show anymore.
Of course,
I'm be honest. I might have to give it a break for a couple months because that would disappoint me deeply. Right. That was one of the things I truly did hope
for. Well, Wentworth Miller was signed to show up on all CW superhero shows. So
he's a universal contract or whatever they call it.
And so has Katie Cassidy. So
there
is every chance that in some reality, Black Canary will be alive at some point. Who
and Malcolm.
And Malcolm, right? Well,
yeah,
of course.
Because he's part of what the Legion of Doom they're building, I think. So, yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I don't need to say anything more about Flash. But if you guys want to talk about, you know, Kid Flash or the rival, or, you know, Vicky, have any thoughts on anything? I think I'll let you guys wrap her up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, we got to see Kid Flash in this episode. So, do you think we're gonna get to see more of that with Wally now back in the quote unquote fixed reality?
Great question. That's a great question.
If they made a suit for one episode, I would.
I know.
So surprised.
Yes.
There's no way that happens.
I keep thinking somehow that weird thing that happened last season with both him and Jesse has to play a part at some point. Otherwise, that was like the biggest red herring I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah.
So, and plus, you don't get Wally West to be on your show and then just have only one episode and that's it. That just is nonsensical. And the outfit actually looked good.
Yeah, it did.
Plus, it never made sense that they were calling him Kid Flash in a reality where there was no Flash, but, you know, whatever.
One little
he's young and he's a kid, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one whatever. Design thing I want to point out. That
but he was blurry. How would they know he was a kid? But anyway.
That it's a small thing that I like. It doesn't. The fact that the rival's lightning bolt went straight down, just like Jay's lightning bolt goes straight down his suit. I don't know if it doesn't have to mean anything, but the fact the rival is originally Jay Garrick's anti-Flash, the fact the lightning bolts are in the same direction made me happy. That was it.
Okay. I only want to point out two little things, and then I just want to move on to one new thing that we're doing with these episodes before we get to Arrow. There was a very interesting thing about this episode, if you go back and look at it, is that this episode in many ways mirrored the very first episode of The Flash. In case guys didn't catch that. Everything from Cisco making the Weather Wizard reference, who was Cisco came up with Weather Wizard in the very first episode. Barry fighting and running against those tornadoes, which is what he does in the pilot episode, and Joe eventually shooting the villain and looking like he kills him in the moment, which is what happens in the pilot. That's a lot. That's no accident. It's meant to mirror that. So that's kind of interesting. And since Jason's not here to bring it up himself, I will. It's the kind of thing that either me or him would have brought up, and I think he might have beaten me to it if I'd give him the chance. It needs to be mentioned that the actor Alex, I think his last name is pronounced, it can't be pronounced Desert. Maybe it is Alex Desert. Who cares? Desert, whatever. Alex Desert was in this episode. We saw him as they had a different captain at the Central City Police Department. He was Captain Julio Mendez. It needs to be pointed out that Alex Desert played a lab assistant in the 1990 Flash TV show whose name was Julio Mendez.
So I did not notice till you said it, and then I went back and rewatched him. Like, well, then.
People might remember him. He was also on the. I used to watch him. He used to be the blind newsstand guy on Becker for many years. So I remember him.
Yep.
So I think I made this joke on Facebook. I think all that's really left of the running character lunch show is Richard Belzer's detective character. So if they can get Belzer to come back from Paris just to show up in one episode, then the entire cast of the 1990 TV show will have been on the show. And not to mention that they're all appearing on the show, except for, I guess, Barry Allen himself, as their previous characters. That's what's really crazy. But I just felt that needed to be mentioned. Okay, so before we move on, we wanted to introduce what an old yet new element to this podcast. I think we might remember at one point we sort of used to try to rank or rate the episodes way, way back, but we always kind of did it on the spot. It wasn't taken very seriously, and it kind of fell by the wayside pretty much. But we decided, and Dan came up with the idea, so full credit to Danny. That we were going to actually rate each and every episode of the four shows that we're going to be covering, The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. I guess we could say it's on a 0 to 5 star system kind of a thing. That way we can see at the end of the season how the four series rank for each of us. I think it might be cool. It might suck. I don't know. Can you feel the excitement? I know I can. This is our very first crack at it. I'm going to go around the virtual room here on a scale of 1 to 5, I don't know, stars or sizzling lightning bolts or whatever you want to call it. And we can use half stars too if you like. Let's get the rating for the episode from each one of us. Cade, I'm going to go to you first. How did you rate this episode?
3 stars for the promise of future chaos.
Nice. Vicky?
I would give this a solid 3 or 3.5. I'll go with the 3.5. I liked a lot, but you know, it had its problems with Swedish stuff. So.
Okay, sounds good. Scott, is it me or you?
Well, did you get Jason's opinion or not? So why don't we get Jason in here?
Yeah, okay. I got a message from Jason about this. I'll just read the message. I'd give the episode 3.5, whatever you guys decide on. my thoughts are that while it's understandable to want his mother back, Barry is so far in the wrong, his arch-nemesis is the voice of reason. Also, thank God the Flashpoint timeline only existed for one episode.
Well said, Jason.
Yeah, wow. Good job. And then
he shouldn't even be the show anymore. He should just give us those. Yeah. That works really well for him. We don't make fun of him if he does that.
He's never that succinct on the show.
We can't say he's wrong.
Well, unfortunately, the next message, and I asked him if he watched Arrow, and all he said was, "Make America Great Again." So we can shit on him again.
So close. He was almost there.
Yeah.
Loser.
Poor guy.
So then. Dan.
Okay, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. For me, 3 is like a normal good episode, and this just didn't quite make it for me, so 2.5.
Yowzes. I gotta tell you, before we started recording, I was definitely in the 3.5 category, but after talking about it more, I will confess, I got more annoyed about things that didn't make sense to me, so I'm going to join Cade and give it just 3. I'm going to go with the 3-star. And believe it or not, I'm actually writing this all down. Because I'll have to keep track of it, you know? Anyway. All right, so now that we've done that, you know, we can ditch the red and let's go for the green now. Let's get to Arrow. Now, the season premiere of Arrow was titled Legacy. And again, to catch people up, when we left Star City last season, Green Arrow had finally killed Damian Dark and later was sworn in as mayor of the city. Meanwhile, Team Arrow pretty much broke up. You know, Diggle went back into what I assume was Special Forces. And Thea just left her vigilante identity behind, supposedly for good. Now, this episode picks up at several months later. Well, by the way, did anyone notice or think it was just a little bit odd that on The Flash, Barry makes a comment about 3 months have passed, but on Arrow, they make a comment about 5 months passing, which is actually the more correct.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
So I don't know if they're messing with things there or not. I don't know. Anyway, let me get back to what happened here. So Ollie, he seems to be half-assing it a bit as the mayor, because I guess working solo with only Felicity to help him is taking up all his time. We do find out there have been other vigilantes running around the city as well. Now, whenever we've talked about Arrow on this show, I think the majority of us tend to be pretty hard on the series. Hard on. Anyway. But sorry, Vicky. But, you know.
I'm not Vicky.
Oh, my gosh. I'm the one who just said, oh, my gosh. I just did a Vickyism. But, you know, it's a new season, which means a fresh start. So I am more curious than normal to hear how y'all felt about this one. I'm actually gonna want to start with Dan this time, you know, because you know, Ollie's mayor, Lance is a drunk, Felicity is Felicity. What did you think about at least the very setup of this episode, especially the first half of it?
I was pleasantly surprised with not just the first half, but the entire episode. I mean, just there wasn't anything they did that bothered me. They weren't, you know, they weren't leaning on the annoying Arrow tropes that tend to drive us crazy in this city. And it just, I mean, they managed to just set up a bunch of cool stuff, you know, tie up a few things that have happened before, and just, it just worked. Everything worked. It was, I mean, even if I hadn't had the kind of lackluster episode of The Flash to compare it to, it was just surprisingly good. Like, we were seeing everything they can do well, and then just executing on every possible level. So I can safely say this is probably the best season premiere of an Arrow episode, and you know, a good deal better than most than the average run of the mill episode from the last couple of years at least. So yay.
A very pleasant surprise. Vicky, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dan. I think this is definitely an improvement over the last, you know, especially last season. We were so critical of the whole Damien Dark episode. They did a good job of tying up some things with, you know, giving Laurel her her statue, and then just jumping into the new storylines for this season with introducing the new bads and everything.
Right. Cade, you've also been kind of a little hypercritical of the show. What do you think?
Agreedly. I will not argue with that. I love the fact that instead of taking like five episodes to put set pieces into place for the season, they did it in a single episode. There was no lagging. It moved on. It put things in places. It introduced new characters. And started the end of the episode goes, this is how the season's going to go forward. And I was like, pleasantly surprised by a show that sometimes feels like it's dragging things along to just go, here's this beat, here's where we're moving to. Everything felt in place, everything fit. Oliver's character didn't even seem out of character from what we have, where his character fluctuates up and down. It's like, for six episodes, am I good, am I going to do this, am I going to do that? He worked through it, and at the end he goes, I think you're right, we do need help. And it was great not to have him dwell on that and be mopey, just to go,
right,
I've realized, you're right, yes, this is what we need to do, let's get to it. That was fantastic for a show that most of my complaints about it, I can't complain about those things in this episode. Oliver got to a mindset and was there and ready to move forward without second guessing. And that's fantastic.
Right.
I'm excited for the season based on this episode now.
You know,
it's like Oliver's maturing and the show's maturing at the same time. And it's just kind of,
What I think was really good about it was that I felt that they kind of took different types of elements from previous seasons and really fused them together better here than we'd seen previously. Because, you know, on one hand, there was a significant amount of lightness in the episode. But at the same point, you also had him getting into killing his enemies again. But they gave a more reasonable reason why his mindset was like that. And that's a very tricky thing tone-wise, and I was really surprised that they actually carried it off. I was so blown away by the first 10 minutes of the episode. It held my interest. I've mocked the fighting scenes in previous seasons. I thought they really did a nice job of him fighting I guess it was Anarchy.
Yeah, it was Lonnie.
By the way, I love that the fact that they just had that character just show up in the beginning and that was it. Because I want to see more shows do that. I really enjoy that kind of thing. It's a very comic book thing. It's a very cartoon thing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see it on a live action show also, especially when you've got a character like Arrow who's been around, this is his fifth season. You should see that happen from time to time. It shouldn't just be your everyday common criminal. But I have to agree with what you guys have said. They really took some bold steps here, just laying out the groundwork of what we're going to see this season in terms of there's the big bad that we know and then there's the big bad that we don't know. And I love that aspect to the show. And again, it looks like, as you were saying, Ollie himself is maturing. Like, he's not the stubborn, pig-headed character that I think he was in those earlier seasons. That he has learned something, and he, you know, about forming a team and everything else. So I really did enjoy that quite a bit.
And you're right; that fight felt very fresh compared to what we have seen for the past few seasons, where it's the same moves over and over. It was like you choreographed a different fight finally, and it was enjoyable to see.
Do you think in any way that since they probably have to keep hearing about how amazing the fight stuff is on, like, say, like Daredevil, for example, which it depends which episodes you're talking about, quite frankly, as far as that show is concerned. But I thought maybe they felt the need to step up their game and just do it right in the very beginning. You know, whether it's the silhouettes or the crashing through the floor, it was just something different. I really enjoyed it a lot. And I usually don't.
I hope they did, because it was good. It made me not want to fast forward through the fight scene on the show and go, oh, this is cool. I like what they're doing here.
The only thing that just stuck out as completely random to me is when they're at the crime scene where all the drug dealers and the cops got killed, and they pan up and show Oliver just hiding up in the corner. No one noticed that? What the heck? There are so many police officers walking around this crime scene. No one just turned to their right, looked up a little bit, and saw him.
He's got ninja skills, so ninjas are used to.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was basically, oh, look, they're Ollie's being Batman again. Very nice.
Yeah.
This episode, I mean, even pacing-wise, too, I mean, and if you think about all the different stuff they managed to do in this episode, I mean, you got, like, a cool fight with Anarchy, set up with a funny blonde or redhead joke. You've got setting up three new, like, supervillains, Chad Coleman just, like, completely, like, kicking ass and chewing scenery, this new, like, Archer, and then this guy that's dating Felicity, probably the big bad for the season.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, but you know, you're dealing with Captain Lance's stuff, and it's not getting short. You know, it's not getting shortchanged at all. You're dealing with the Laurel stuff a bit. You're dealing with the Diggle stuff. Thea not wanting to, like, kill. I mean, you just go down the line, and just so much stuff they managed to do in one episode without anything feeling rushed. I mean, Oliver got fucking abducted at a Laurel's, like, thing, and that's like one out of like 1,000 things that happened in the episode.
And it all just connected. All things kind of play into one giant story. Something doesn't, like, why is this going on? It's like, oh, I see how this all fits together.
It was very surprising that they were able to pull this off, because it's not a show that's been known to do that very well in the past. So this is a really encouraging sign for the series and for the season. Since you mentioned him, and I enjoyed the hell out of seeing him here, can we talk just for another minute about Chad Coleman? Who I know a lot of our listeners probably know him primarily from The Walking Dead, whatever. He's always going to be from The Wire as far as people like me are concerned.
Yep.
But what Dan said about, he's having fun being this over-the-top, you know, kingpin-like character here. But I really enjoyed the hell out of him. And I will say there was part of me was questioning, how big a threat can he really be? And then part of me is like, who cares? He's so much fun to watch. Let's see how the season unfolds. Well, hope he beats the crap out of more people with brass knuckles. But I really enjoyed him a lot.
And plus, we haven't even touched like the fact that there's actually like a flashback thing also happening with all this other stuff, and it's not like lame or stupid yet.
Oh yeah, I've got a special segment for that one already. So, Kay, were you about to say something before I move to the next?
Nope.
Mm-mm. So, well, actually, it's funny that you should say something because I feel like you're going to be the one to pipe in right now. So one of the plots that we see unfolding in this episode, and which is going to then manifest over the course of at least the early part of the season, is forming this new team. So they've definitely they're bringing in some characters that people may or may not know, somewhat obscure compared to say Flash or Arrow or whatever, but they're still from the comic books, like Wild Dog, for example. And I believe I saw a drawing of Vigilante. I already heard he was going to be on the show, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure did.
So, Kate, here's a silly question, because I just remembered how people got so bent out of shape with the stuff with Laurel, to the point where even I got annoyed by people complaining about it. Are people going to bitch about these new heroes not having enough training the way they did about Laurel? Or are people going to say, oh, they've been working on the streets all along, so maybe they don't need as much training? What do you think is going to happen with that?
I think there will be bitching, but the preview for the next episode actually kind of starts to make you go, instead of like Oliver not training her and letting her do her thing and get beat up for so long, he's going to make it his goal to train them. He's going to make them as good as they are, not let them get beat up and then finally go, I should do something for you. So I think they're going to be a little more forgiving because automatically Oliver's in a better place. Oddly enough, I think they took cues from the main character of the show. It's like, well, Oliver think it's dumb, so I think it's dumb too. Whereas Oliver's like, okay, we'll do this. We'll train him. They'll probably go, Oliver's taking his time and training them, so it's perfect. We'll get to see them get better. And it's like, because these people will not be satisfied no matter what. But I think they're going to be less moody about this one because you will get to see them train. You'll get to see them get better. But then again, they might all still complain and fuss because, you know, they're not Oliver. They can't. It's like, settle down. Enjoy the show.
Oh no, they're not gonna spend a lot of time training. If you got Dolph Lundgren in this season, they're gonna do a fucking Rocky style training montage. That's what they're gonna do. And they're gonna be funny about it.
Well, if I can, you know, I was reading, you know, a preview article, and they were saying, you know, it's gonna take time for them to, you know, get their, you know, their skills, for them to evolve. So it's not going to be pretty right from the beginning. And, you know, even with, especially with Curtis, you know, he's like an athlete or whatever, but he's not a fighter. So it's going to take him a while to get there.
You just spoiled the whole season for us, Vicky. Way to go.
almost feels like this is their Batman and the Outsider story.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. You're right.
I didn't want to. I know I'm always right. Mr. This is Batman, but right, really, right, this right, is right. Batman and the Outsiders.
Meanwhile, 99% of people listening are not going to know what we're talking about. They're not going to
Google it. Don't, that's what the internet's for.
I know you're taking the Jason spot in this podcast right now. Stop it. Just stop it. We're not doing that tangent. It was funny.
I'm done. I'm
Vicky, I kid you not, my next note was to go to you and ask you about your opinions on Curtis in this episode and moving forward. So you kind of beat me to the punch, so now I don't have to ask you. But I'm excited about that character and what they're going to do with him. I'm really kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm so excited that, you know, Curtis is actually going to be a real part of the team and, you know, fight alongside with everyone else, so...
Not just IT maintenance like he was in this episode. Let me fix your computer while I'm here.
I was legitimately surprised by how many things I thought were funny in the episode, and I didn't make a note of any of them, so I can't recount any. Or maybe it's for the better because people don't need me to repeat jokes. But I just remember thinking, this is funny, but it feels more. I hate to use a cliched word that people use in podcasts all the time. It felt more organic to me. Like it didn't.
You're right. It did.
It didn't feel like a forced joke. Like, you know, kind of like an elbow. Like, oh look, they're making a reference to something which is from the comics or a movie or whatever. It's like no, and I think maybe that's partially due to the fact that this is the fifth season. we should we, these characters should feel lived in at this point. Then there should be an easier way for them to talk to each other and to joke around. And that's been difficult because these last couple of seasons have been so erratic. But I think for the most part, everyone just felt really sure-footed here. Like, I really enjoyed all the Felicity Ollie stuff here. And it had nothing to do with their previous will they or won't they get back together relationship or the usual stubborn crap or tears or whatever. I just really enjoyed her here. I even liked that dress on her. I started thinking, wait, am I Dana? Am I starting to have a thing for Felicity? That's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Sorry. No, I won't. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
She's too I like him shorter. But I really enjoyed her on it.
But yeah, I mean, when you said about, like, you know, things being more organically, I mean, this is a setup episode, but it didn't feel like a setup episode. Just everything felt just like, oh, there's, you know, we watch it now. Just there's so many different things they can do. That mean that yeah, as long as they keep their shit together, I mean, it just there's all sorts of stuff they can do. I mean, you know, new vigilante, you got Mr. Terrific, Curtis. I mean, you got this bad guy. He's
yeah.
You got crooks and crooked cops. You got good cops, and you got Captain Lance being used like effectively.
I actually when I was watching the episode, I remember getting worried because once they switched over and we saw that Lance is, you know, he's like a drunk and he's lost everything. It's like, oh no, I don't want to have to go through that. You know, we went through that with your daughter, and now this again. And I like that he got emboldened and got inspired in this episode, and so that's not going to be a lingering thing. I know, you know, maybe it's not very realistic. I don't care, but it's like what you just said. If they're going to use him better, and it is sort of like another team, so to speak, I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to so many things that manifested from this episode. I'm almost shocked. Because I had no expectations going into this episode, unlike, say, The Flash, where I had, you know, huge expectations. So maybe that also helped as well. Can I say one?
I would agree. I think Arrowhead.
On.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. Arrowhead brought us so far down that this being even decent would have surprised us, I think.
Oh, by the way, since you just spoke, do you have any idea who, if in fact it is from the comics at all, I don't know, that Archer is at the end? Do we have?
Yeah, I want to know if anybody knows.
I know who the big bad is supposed to be. I do believe that's who it is. Do you want me to say this? I'll ask before I say it.
Right, well, let's take a quick vote. If he says it, do we consider that a spoiler or not? I'm going to say no, because we know who the big bad's going to be on The Flash, which we didn't mention. How do we not mention Alchemy? But anyway, I'm fine with it, because if it's already been out there in the news, then it's not like a real spoiler as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they released who it's going to be. I'm pretty sure it's Prometheus.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, huh. They've said Prometheus was the villain for this season of Arrow.
Wow.
And with who that character and how what all he did, I do believe that's who that was supposed to be.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I think it was Prometheus we were saying.
I actually know who that is. I'm more happy about that.
So do I, too.
I'm shocked. I only have one. And it was nice that we did get to see Diggle at least for a moment at the end, because I like that actor so much, so it's nice just to see him. There's one thing I wanted to say about the episode, and just one thing, that made me happy. It's a dorky thing, and I made this comment a few times when we talked about it last season, and I was so thrilled to see it happen in this episode. I like the fact that not only do we see, as Green Arrow, he's using his arrows more, which is what he's supposed to do. He's an archer, and instead of punching people with his bow, he used several trick arrows.
Oh, yeah.
I was very happy about that, because, honestly, that's what Green Arrow does. Green Arrow, I mean, Green Arrow I've read all my life, he has regular arrows, but he's usually using other ones. He had a parachute arrow. He had the arrow that connected to the bomb. He had that other one that did some kind of grappling thing, whatever the fuck it did. I don't know. I was like, yes! You've got Felicity, the science genius. She should be designing all these crazy arrows for you. It doesn't have to be a boxing glove.
And Curtis, too.
I don't trust that show because I thought they were always just using regular arrows. So when he shot the arrow at the bottom, I'm like, what the hell is this dummy doing? And then when I saw what it was, I'm like, surprised. You surprised me with this because you're using things you should be using. Cool arrows that do neat things.
Come on, parachute arrow. He had a parachute arrow.
I mean, yeah, it's wild the fact that they waited this long to pull these things out. It's like, this is what we want. This is fun.
And to stay on the super dorky level, did you notice that they subtly changed his outfit again?
I like his outfit a lot this season.
Yeah, it's much more... just more normal. It's much more sleeker. I like it also.
I think it took some cues from like what they had with Speedy's last, where he has like the bandoliers coming down. It just looks better. It definitely is a lot better looking.
So, it really sounds like we surprisingly are not. Oh, you know what? Duh. Hold on. I said before. Screech. Okay. The one thing that we've hated more than anything on this show, to the point where most of our conversations when we talk about Arrow last season especially, we made a conscious decision to just ignore them entirely at times. The flashbacks, which Dan made mention of before, I cannot believe these words are actually coming out of my mouth as they're saying them.
Let's take a break before you say it. Let's all take in what's about to happen and remember this moment.
Okay.
Because this is a big moment for this show that we're about to say this.
This happened.
Exactly.
The only thing that could be more shocking than this is like, I loved last night's Gotham. You know.
Oh, gosh.
That ain't going to happen.
No.
I quit the show if you say that.
Oh, I wish we had time to talk about that show right now. But anyway, it's the first time in 2.5 or 3 years, not including Constantine, that I was completely interested. What is that noise? Is someone opening an aspirin bottle? I was completely interested and engrossed in the freaking flashback that I actually cared. What's going on? What happened? Is it because they're Russian?
Not only that, but like in the past seasons, they always had the flashback would be a ham-fisted way of showing like why Oliver did something. You're like, that's terrible. This time, you see things happen to him in the past, and then when they happen in the present, you're not like, well, that was a bad way. It's like, okay, that's cool. That's how he knows how. That's awesome. These are flashbacks that almost you get a lot better sense of how they play into the overall story, where they actually fit, why you're seeing them. It's fantastic. It's like, why have you not... Who wrote the flashbacks for this season? Why haven't they been doing it all along?
Was it you, Speedweed? Was it you?
Speedweed is co-executive producer now.
Oh my god.
I think he got a promotion.
Sweet. He deserves it with that sweet name. What were you going to say, Vicky?
No, I completely agree. I like how really enjoyed the flash. I like how we saw Anatoly basically showed him how to break his thumbs, and then we saw him do that together to zip ties.
Oh, that was such a good moment.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, and it kind of it kind of feels like it'll be somewhat unified with the season's other stuff. I mean, you got some organized crime in Russia doing this. You got organized crime in Star City doing that, right. But it's not like last season's like, look at this magic, look how clever we are, we're awesome. It's just that dumb.
Also, I think a lot of it is going to be when we had the flashbacks in the first two seasons, they were about the beginning of his journey, you know? The beginning of him becoming who he is now. This flashback, this is the end of his journey, because they mentioned it's 5 years ago, so this is going to be like the same year that he eventually returns back to Star City. So we're basically going to be seeing what leads him to come back home. So that already interests me, because I know what the end game is him showing up in Star City. That's where this leads. But how do we get there? And as Dan mentioned before as well, we had a really cool flashback that we're all interested in, and we didn't even get to Dolph Lundgren yet. And I don't know why, but I'm so excited of all people to see Dolph Lundgren show up on this show, which makes no sense whatsoever. But God, please let them make a Rocky IV reference, please. That will be a joke I will accept. What's the line? Is it, I will break you?
Yeah. I must break
you. Oh, I must
break you. I must break you.
I want that so bad.
Can we just say, the hair in the flashback wasn't atrocious. I don't know what they did with the wig, but it didn't look as horrifyingly bad as it has in the past.
I was confused by one thing about it, though. Did he have dark hair?
It did look a little darker. I will say that. That might be one of the reasons it doesn't look as bad.
No, it looked like he was a brunette.
Yeah, I was trying
to figure out, why is he a brunette? Yeah. But okay.
Maybe he did dye it.
That's why he doesn't need to be undercover. No one knows who he is. He's been missing for years. But I really enjoyed the Russian gangster flashback. And I guess I'm a little bit of a sucker for that kind of a storyline anyway. And I also like the fact that they're mocking how bad his Russian accent is when he speaks. So I got a kick out of that too. All right. Is there anything else about this episode or the upcoming season you guys wanted to mention before we move on here?
Yeah. I was just going to briefly mention the conversation between Thea and Oliver, after she comes to get him and they're arguing down in the Arrow Cave. I really enjoyed that. They both make good arguments, but she's like, no, I only did this because you're in danger. I need to have my own life. And so, yeah.
That was a very good scene between them. Is that, Vicky, is that the moment when he actually makes a reference to thinking that in some ways her father was right? Is it during that scene?
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I have to admit, that Malcolm was right.
Yeah. Which is probably the worst thing to say to Thea.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to buy you much good with her.
You're not convincing her that way. That ain't going to help.
Yeah.
One other question I have, something Dan mentioned before. So at the end, we get the revelation with the, I guess who Cade says is going to be Prometheus, whatever. But we also see that Felicity's got a new dude. And we saw that guy earlier in the episode, right? During the,
Yeah, he was one of the cops. Yeah.
Okay. So do we know who that is, or is he's just a cop, or is he a liaison? I don't know. I can't remember who he was because I rewind it back.
All he did, he was the cop who brought the, I don't know his name. The officer who was the one talking to Thea at the beginning at the policeman's ball. Okay. He's the one who pulled him into the other room saying things seemed a little remiss, and they talked about why is everything going on that he never called it in. The one where Oliver's hiding in a corner and no one sees him. He was one of the two cops in that scene talking.
Okay. Detective Malone, that's his name.
Oh,
look at you.
I was looking it up earlier, and so I just pulled it back up.
I'm just saying, just seeing that moment with him and Felicity, I was going, wow, Felicity, really? You went from Oliver Queen and Ray Palmer and the way those dudes look to this guy? Really? Anyway.
Gotta stop chasing the pretty boys at some point. They don't work out for you.
It's not always about appearance.
There is no one who knows that better than I do, Vicky. Trust me. Wow, I should not have said that. Anyway, okay. So, let's get to our ratings for this episode. So on a scale of whatever you want to call it, 5 arrows, or if you want to come up with something more amusing, who the fuck cares? How did you rate this one? Cade, we'll start with you again.
Mark this down. I'm going to give an Arrow episode 4 stars. A very promising start for this season.
Nice. Vicky?
I will agree and give it 4.
I do enjoy that you guys are giving it room to improve. So. No, you're not easy raters. It's excellent. Now, did Jason watch the episode or not, Dan?
No, he hasn't got to it as of yet. So
I'm gonna write jerk face for him. No, I'm just kidding.
your face.
He's gonna love this podcast. What did you? What do you say, Dan?
Yeah, I'm also gonna give it a 4. I thought about giving it 4.5 just because, like, it deserves an extra half a point, maybe because the flashback didn't suck and it's like most improved. But I gotta give it, you know, room to have something between like really really good and like completely epic. So I'll leave it at the really really good mark. So we'll give her a 4.
And we are gonna have 4 of a kind because I am also giving it 4. With a very similar rationalization that you just used, because I figured 5 has to be for me almost impossible. You know, it has to be like the best thing ever. I think maybe like one episode of Flash might be a 5 in my mind or 2 all the time.
So, same here.
So then 4.5 has to be like just falling short. You know, a little bit. So this to me is like, yeah, 4. 4 feels really right for this one, which is still. For especially for an Arrow episode, kind of extraordinary. So,
yeah.
Let's cross our fingers and see if, you know, they don't pull a Walking Dead on us here and start off really strong and then suck a few episodes later. So I guess we'll see. Hey Dan, I'm the one who made a Walking Dead joke this time.
Not
you.
Nice.
That's your.
Jason texted me. He said, "Enjoying Trump rally. Watched Arrow." We'll give episode 1 star due to abundance of multicultural characters and female characters being allowed to speak. Not acceptable.
Didn't he mention something about being sad that Putin didn't show up in the Russian sequences?
He said he was glad that once he realized that the new vigilante's last name is like Rodriguez or something. He said he was glad Oliver shot him, but other than that, not a lot to love.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Just kidding. We love our Jason. We love to insult douchebags and demigods. So.
Yes.
He will find an internet cafe to do the show from next time. Once he hears this,
he's only mildly xenophobic. People, don't worry. He's not here. He can't defend himself. It's episode 140. No. All right, well, I think it's time to wrap this sucker up. We will be back next week. It may be a no-frills version because Dan will be away, but we'll be covering all 4 shows on the CW, so that will be a very interesting test of our stamina and how we move forward. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll probably enjoy our Facebook page as well. We're the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page, join the conversation there. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way, the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed. You can rate and review us. We finally got a new review and rating this week. Unfortunately, it was some douche who really hated us, but whatever. And finally, you can subscribe to our Twitter. Subscribe is not the right word, is it? It's tired. I'm late. You can follow us on Twitter.
One-star reviews, they're 1-inch reviews, so enjoy not being hung, douchebag.
God, I hope he listens to this one.
That'll never happen. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at STVDpodcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. And that's it for this week. I am so excited that we are recording once again, and it was great to hear the voices of folks like Cade and Vicky, especially Vicky, because you've been lost in the wild for a long time now. and of course Dan, but that goes without saying. You know, that's why I don't say it. So, unless any of you guys have any closing comments, TikTok.
Nope.
TikTok. I should never do that because then you just have the dull, dull silence.
All I have to say is good night, y'all.
I will say good night to Jason. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And good night to everybody.
We love you, Jason.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. Justice is his aim. Wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it. When danger threatens,